Blog Talk Radio.
Testaments. My original intent was to get into the book of Maccabees, which you can prophesying and being prophesied, which a lot of people refuse to believe is the inherent word of the Most High. And I beg to tell you, you need to read it first and allow your spirit to speak to you and communicate with you. The Apocrypha is definitely a part of the original compilation of the scrolls with the Council of Trent back in the 1500s before the 1611 Bible, where it was also a part. And then later in the 1700s, we had people to remove those 14 books that give us so much foundation in history before leading into the New Testament that actually, if they don't do anything else, they confirm. And the Bible did say that let it be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It confirms the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's just a powerful tool, resource, history, and there's so much information out there that would refute, debunk so many of the lies we hear as a result of religion, heresies coming into play, paganism, false worship of other deities, and also, most importantly, the desire for these demons to only keep us from knowing who we are and coming into the knowledge of the Most High, our Father, and what He has in store for His children, His people, the true seed of Israel. So we covered some history, and if you get a chance, that's one of the only 30-minute shows. You can actually go back into the archives and listen to these shows. We actually talked about the time period, the 400 years between the prophecy of Malachi and the advent of Christ. A lot of people don't want to believe that this is something that's actually setting up a foundation to lead to the advent of Christ, but it's impossible for you to say that this does not set up a foundation, because you have a history that shows you where the Pharisees and Sadducees, all those persons that wanted our brother Christ to be crucified, how they come into being, how it all came into play, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the destruction of some of our ways of worship and becoming more, I would say, subscribers to Mosaic law, and but also a blending in of politics and religion in societal, other societal aspects that took a people away from being a called out people. And when we are uncovering this history, we get a chance to see the influences of outside conquerors like the Persians, the Medes, Alexander the Great, of course, that set up many societies, the Ptolemies. And I think we left off with the Ptolemies, and today we want to go into the Seleucids, and I know we covered some of the period of the Seleucids last time, but there's some things that I want to go over again as it pertains to the Seleucids. The Syrian rulers are termed Seleucids because their kingdom, one of the successor states to Alexander's empire, was founded by Seleucus Nicator. Now, most of the early rulers bore the names of Seleucus or Antiochus, and they ruled from Antioch on the Orontes River. The energetic ruler Antiochus III, surnamed the Great, waged a series of battles with Egypt until in 199 BC he wrestled Palestine from the Ptolemies after the Battle of Pannon near the sources of the Jordan River. This marked the beginning of a new era of Jewish history, for while the Ptolemies had been tolerant of Jewish institutions, the Seleucids determined to enforce Hellenism upon the Jews. The crisis came during the reign of Antiochus IV, surnamed Epiphanes, who found allies in the Hellenistic party in Judea in the early days of the reign of Antiochus IV. Jerusalem was ruled by the high priest Onias III, a descendant of Simon the Just and a strictly Orthodox Jew. The Jews who looked with favor on Greek culture opposed Ionias and espoused the cause of his brother Jason. By promising larger tribute to Antiochus, Jason succeeded in having himself appointed high priest. Although Antiochus looked upon the high priesthood as a political office which he had a right to fill as he pleased, pious Jews thought the priesthood as divine in origin and considered itself to the highest bidder of a sin against God. Jason encouraged the Hellenists who had sought his election. A gymnasium was built in Jerusalem, and Greek names became commonplace, and Hebrew orthodoxy was considered obscurantist and obsolete. Yet Jason argued with his close companion and fellow Hellenist, Menelaus of the tribe of Benjamin, who offered higher attribute to Antiochus than paid by Jason, and had himself installed as high priest. The Orthodox Jews, who had been scandalized when Jason was named high priest, were more deeply disturbed when Menelaus, a Benjamite with no claim to priestly office, was installed. Jason raised an army to back his claim to the high priesthood, and Menelaus courted the favor of Antiochus. The Syrians were campaigning against Egypt, felt it essential to maintain effective control of Palestine. During this time, Antiochus staged a sneak attack on Jerusalem on one Saturday when the Orthodox would not fight, and slaughtered a large number of the enemies of Menelaus. The city walls were destroyed, and a new fortress, the Acra, was built in the site of the citadel. Antiochus determined to remove all traces of Orthodox Jewish faith. Israel's God was identified with Jupiter. They began to mingle the two gods, and so immediately they blended the Most High with Jupiter, and bearded images of this pagan deity began to pop up everywhere. Some of those the deities that we see as Zeus, Apollo, or Apollyon, which I don't want to get to that right now, but those images are very demonic in the perception that when distorted, turned upside down. There's many different things that you see in these images. Jews were forbidden under penalty of death to practice circumcision, so immediately they would be killed if they were still circumcising, which was a part of the law. They were not allowed to observe the Sabbath or the celebration of any feast of the Jewish calendar. So here we begin to see a lot of these things being taken away out of practices, so that we would not be a holy people, a set apart people, because these were the things that set us apart, that were for our good, but also let a nation know how they would conduct themselves before the Most High in order to be separate and to be sanctified. And a lot of people still to this day want to know that that's been abolished. We're not going to do this show on the law today versus your grace, which you have turned in the lasciviousness, as mentioned in the New Testament. People have thoroughly abused grace and still constantly do thoroughly abuse grace and don't understand that sin is transgression of the law, and that grace is for the purpose of getting you back to the law so that you can, one, lead a more sanctimonious life, a healthier life, have a life of discipline, and have some constraints, and separate yourself from the world and its paganistic practices that have been forced upon us. And we're taking a look at some of the beginnings of these things being forced upon us, as well as when we were brought to America as slaves, and Christianity, Christian perspective was forced upon us, which comes from Rome. And Christ was not Roman, he was Hebrew of origin, so were the forefathers of our Bible and the relationship that we have with the Most High. Let me continue reading this last portion before I get into some information about the Maccabean revolt. The laws were enforced with the utmost cruelty. An aged scribe named Eleazar was flogged to death because he would not eat swine's flesh. And they also began to sacrifice swine's flesh on their altars to Zeus, Jupiter. So it lets you know that they were, how you say it, most or at least very, not only insisted, but they intentionally violated the things that were along the lines of our laws and statutes and commandments, and destroying and killing people that did not break these. And so a lot of people were going passively, but you had some that were willing to stand up and fight to the death. That's when we began to get into the Maccabean revolt. By force of arms, Menelaus continued as high priest, and the Hellenizing party gained a victory. Hellenizing party was worse than the Republican or Democratic party, or liberal for that matter. Yet the Hellenizers had gone too far, and their very zeal to annihilate the old order proved their undoing, because some of the Orthodox Orthodox were willing to die for their faith. This is where you start getting into some of your martyrs early on, before some of the other martyrs, A.D. after Christ, Bishop Leon of France and others of that first church. Let's move into some information about the Maccabean Revolt. Once again, we're covering a time frame in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where a lot of that history has been removed. Now, most people are just ignorant to it, don't know about it, and don't understand the importance of the apocryphal books that were in between that time, all of the rulers, the leaders, the destruction of a temple, of a people, and all the different dynasties that played a part in that, and the different people that stood during this time. And the ones that did stand, the father did stand with them. You'll hear some stories about another young lady that took a stand, and the Most High was with her. And her name is Judith, and we will cover that when we start to talk about the apocryphal. She's compared to the young lady who was with Judge Deborah, who actually killed, her name was Jael. And she killed the Canaanite, the general Sisera, by putting a nail through his temple and in his head. And so you have stories of the father using women on occasions to bring in that victories for his people who were still willing to stand. Let's see, I'm going to go into the period of the Maccabean Revolt, and then at some point, once we finish covering some of this history, we will begin to actually get into the Book of Maccabees and some of the other apocryphal books and briefly kind of do a synopsis, a brief summation of the information that are in these books. And this is something that's just important to us here at the Social Change Action Network, to give you information, to give you history, to help you to understand the synthesis of the Apocrypha, our history, biblical history, Greek mythology, because we just don't read enough books. We don't get enough information. We allow ourselves to be spoon-fed on Sundays, which is not our day of worship. As we can see, all of these periods is where they began to destroy our day of worship and change it to a Sunday in order for us to begin to worship the sun god and to worship Jupiter and to worship Zeus. And now we've just become accustomed to it. And we're moving into a time where the Father is calling his people to come back to a holiness and a practice that is not denominational and that is not a religiosity, but that's based upon a relationship with him, based upon the way you've seen your forefathers worship in this world. During the Maccabean Revolt, we find the oppressed Jews were not long in finding a champion. When the emissaries of Antiochus arrived at the village of Modin, about 15 miles west of Jerusalem, they expected the aged priest Mattathias to set a good example to his people by coming forward to offer a pagan sacrifice. When Mattathias refused, a timid Jew came forward to perform the sacrifice. The enraged priest approached the altar and slew both the apostate Jew, who turned his back on the Father and the law, statutes, and commandments, and the emissary of Antiochus with his five sons. Mattathias destroyed the heathen altar and then fled to the hills to avoid reprisal. Others of Orthodox persuasion joined the family of Mattathias in waging guerrilla warfare on the Syrians and the Hellenistic Jews who supported them. The Orthodox would not fight on the Sabbath day, with the result that they were at a distinct military disadvantage. They refused to fight. They were going to honor the Sabbath, which was to not work, not cook, not clean, not purchase, just to rest, and this cost them their lives, and adhering to the promises of the Father, because in the Old Testament, to break any of the laws was death, but now because of grace, because we're still under the curses, when you break the law, you can't be judged, and judgment one's death, not somebody's opinion or words, or as they say in the Greek, to formulate an opinion and bring verbal judgment over you. No, judgment, to judge then, was to put somebody to death for breaking the laws. And so this is where grace has come in, that you're no longer killed or have to be killed because you slip up and forget to keep the Sabbath to the total full extent, or you break some of the other laws. But you grow. You grow in grace and you come back to the commandments because there's so many benefits to being there as according to the Bible. He that teaches these things would be called greatest in the kingdom. That's in the New Testament. The one that keeps the Sabbath is the one that will have the mark of the Most High on their foreheads. And these would be the people that make a difference. The Father's watching. He's watching. So the Orthodox would not fight on the Sabbath day, with the result that they were at a distinct military disadvantage. On one Sabbath, a band of the Orthodox was surrounded and slaughtered, for they would not defend themselves. Now, following this episode, Mattathias suggested the principle that fighting in self-defense is permissible on the Sabbath. It's just like you fighting in self-defense to take care of your family. Even though the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not kill," and I think if someone's coming at you with brutal, violent force towards your wife or your children, and they're looking to take you out, you have a right to defend yourself and to defend your family and to prevent that from happening. Soon after the beginning of the revolt, Mattathias died. He had urged his followers to choose as military leader his third son, Judas, which is Hebrew for Judah, also known as the Maccabee, a word usually interpreted to mean the hammer. The choice was a good one, for more and more Jews rallied to the cause. The Maccabees, as the followers of Judas, were called were able to hold their own against a series of Syrian armies thrown against them. By a surprise night attack, Judas annihilated an army of Syrians and Hellenistically minded Jews at Emmaus. Now, you have to understand something. You've got a blending of different types of Jews here. You've got some that are into all types of pagan worship, Greek mythology, other gods, and trying to set up other forms of worship. And you've got the Orthodox Jews that are holding the laws, practices, and principles and are fighting against these people. And the Most High is coming to their end to win these battles, to win these wars. That's just as in the time of Joshua. And you want to tell me that the Father wasn't present, wasn't speaking, like he just shut up heaven for a while, was out of business or on vacation? It's ludicrous. The Maccabees entered the city and took everything except the Acra. They entered the temple and removed all the signs of paganism which had been installed there. The altar dedicated to Jupiter was removed and a new altar erected to Israel's God. The statue of Jupiter was ground to dust, beginning with the 25th of Kislev, December. That's key. There was a pagan statue and God that was there on the 25th of Kislev. Kislev was December in the Hebrew calendar, and the pagans were celebrating the 25th of December. Back then, that practice started as paganism. It is not Christmas. They've thrown it into your American customs, and you just embrace it and try to say, "Oh, that's the day Christ was born." That is a lie. We do not celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. These are worships to other gods. And at this same time, while we participate in the ceremonies, major sacrifices of human persons are taking place in other areas with the elite. Missing children, missing persons, being killed and sacrificed while you have your celebration within your home, all correlating to a one big, massive celebration to their foreign gods. And we see the Book of Maccabees where they were going against these persons. see, they celebrated an eight-day feast of dedication known as Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. In this way, they marked the end of the three-year period during which the temple had been desecrated. That was for 3 years that the temple was desecrated, and there was the Maccabean revolt where it was overturned. However, peace was short-lived. The Syrian general Lysias defeated the Maccabees in a battle near Jerusalem and besieged the city itself. During the siege, however, Lysias learned of trouble at home and made an offer of peace to the Jews. The laws against the observance of Judaism would be repealed, and Syria would refrain from interference in the internal affairs of Judea. Menelaus was to be removed from office, and the high priesthood given to a mild, interesting, mild Hellenizer named Alcimus. Lysias promised that Judas and his followers would not be punished. The walls of Jerusalem would be raised, however. A council comprising Maccabean officers, respected scribes and elders of the Orthodox party, was convened at Jerusalem to determine the action to be taken. So they had the Maccabean revolt had brought things to a place where they could co-mingle and not force their paganistic practices upon the people and allow them to have their practices that the Most High had given to them. So they were trying to coexist. Now, the fears of Judas proved correct. However, for Alcinous seized and executed many of the Orthodox party. Loyal Jews again turned to Judas, who's Maccabean leader, and the civil war was renewed once again. Judas, with an ill-equipped army of 800 men, met a large Syrian army and died in battle. Thus, the first phase of the Maccabean struggle was ended. And it goes on into a couple of different other areas. For the sake of time, we're not going to continue with the rest of it. We'll pick up again during the week. We'll begin to talk about Jonathan, the brother of Judas, and then we'll go into the Hasmoneans and get into some scriptures and precepts. But right now, we just want to cover history. Listen, I hope that you will enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, this time of rest and peace, and just give it to the Father. Stay into His Word, stay in prayer. We love you here, and as we always say, truth, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, not a destination. And once again, I say to you,